The holiness of God. Amen. There is nothing like it. Remember I had said in the beginning to where it's in scriptures where it's only two times that it's consistent, like holy, holy, holy. There in Isaiah 6:3, and then you go to Revelations 4:8. And we know when the Bible says something and it's repeated and repeated and repeated, that adds a lot of more seriousness to it or more meaning or more thought of, hey, pay attention, right? Pay attention. Holy, holy, holy. Now we can think of that and you can read up some things about that as far as the purposes, and it could have been the three in one, holy God, holy Jesus, holy of that of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity type situation. Whatever it is what it is. All I know is they proclaimed holy, holy, holy. And that's our God, amen. And then we find in 1 Peter 1:15-16. 1 Peter 1. Now, as you're turning there, 1 Peter 1:15-16, I'm going to start up in 1 Peter 13. And my title of the heading in that area says this, Living Before God Our Father. We are here upon this earth, but we're living before our God, our Father. Amen? Amen! Amen. It's exciting. It says here in 13, Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How are we going to get revelation about this? Through Jesus Christ. By the Holy Spirit in us, gets us into that relationship to where we begin to understand that we are to be a holy people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We have something, folks. And guess what? We didn't have to do anything to get it. But one thing, surrender my life and say, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord. Come, live in me. Forgive me of my sins. Boom. I've just been redeemed. I've been forgiven. Oh, but you're still in this world, Tim, and don't you have dumb thoughts and things like that? Yes, but I'm still redeemed, and I'm forgiven. And it's because of the Holy Spirit in me that I can go through, and the world, the devil, will not, well, he will, try to condemn us. But my God, because he's so loving, caring, nurturing, full of mercy, full of grace, my God, through that of the Holy Spirit, will just want to convict me to say, Tim, did you really mean to say that? Well, what? Refresh my memory. Because sometimes we do things just like nothing happens, you know? It could be an hour later, could be 2 seconds later, I don't know, it could be days later. But the Spirit convicts us to where we go, oh my Lord, I guess I didn't say that properly. Or I might have made insinuations of something that I really didn't mean to, but it's just the way it's phrased, or I said it, or the tone. You know, have you ever been there? Yeah, I don't see halos on everybody out there now. So come on, oh up with me, come on. I'm not the only sinner here. Because, you know, to lie, it's a sin. But to realize my God is holy, holy, holy. And yet here we find, and Peter's sharing this, Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where I stopped. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, been there. Sometimes I'm still there. But as he who called you is holy, here's where we want to focus, but he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in what? Your conduct. Because why? It is written, for holy, be holy, for I am holy. The things that my Jesus was about, I have got to get myself into that mindset that I too need to be like that of Christ. And Christ was like that of God. And the Holy Spirit brings all this together for all of us to have an understanding and sometimes an enlightenment of what God's Word is sharing or saying to us, to help us at our times of where we're at struggling, to help us where the times, you know, we're having thoughts of this or that or whatever the case might be. Be holy, for I am holy. And we can all stand and know this to understand that I'm not holy because Tim is holy. Tim has no righteousness. God likes to tell us this way, you're filthy. Your righteousness is like that of filthy rags. Anybody ever dealt with filthy rags? You ever found something that's been damp and thrown in the corner and you get it like 5 weeks later and it stinks? Yuck, you know? So God's Word does a really good thing of trying to help, well, to help us understand that no, it is not of you, Tim. Don't get a big head about it. But it's because of who I sent for you, of Jesus Christ, who died for you, that was laid behind the stone, trampled like a rose. Oh, yeah. For us, for me, for you. I serve a holy, holy, holy God. After we commit our lives to Christ, we sometimes feel that we need to pull back sometimes, or we go back to that old way. Isn't that dumb? It's like, why do I ever do that? Why? Peter here is telling us to be like our Heavenly Father, and that is being holy in everything that we do. Holiness means to be totally committed, devoted, dedicated to God. I don't want to lay a heavy trip on you today and let this be a burden, okay? Tell me, it's not a burden. God's Word is not a burden. The things He tells us and shares with us in His Word is to help us. And it's not to take us to where we walk out with our heads down, feeling like we're the filthiest, dumbest, baddest, whatever. You know, for the majority of what God's Word tells and helps us with is He wants to encourage us. He wants to straighten us out where we've messed up. And I think we've heard it many times, a few times even within our congregation, of people being able to say, you know what, I had to finally forgive myself. And then allow God to pour more stuff of Him in you. Until that happens, there's that block there. And so don't go out of here thinking like, oh boy, Pastor really hit us over the head with being holy, holy, holy. I don't think I can measure up to that. You can measure up to that. You can measure up to being holy, amen? The devil will say you can't. The devil will say of your past life, of the past things, of the things you've done, that it's no way that you'll attain that. That's the devil lying to tell you to stay where you're at. And I want to encourage you today to say, oh, no, 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 no. As a child of God, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are holy. Because of what? Christ in you. We might get to there, I don't know, about we're a new creation. Renewing of things, our minds. And I want to look at that a little bit here as we go further here. But let's look at this. So holiness means to be totally committed, devoted, and dedicated to God, set aside for His special use and to be set apart from sin and the influence of sin. I would also want to add to be set apart from what? This world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Now, I had to do a quick recall of how I could figure that out. Making pancakes, okay? You've heard my story about that. I figure, how does that work, God? Well, okay, I put an egg in there. So it's not of that pancake batter, but it's in the pancake batter. And it only becomes in that part is when I begin to whip it into it. So somehow we got to keep our yolks together. Don't get beat into the world's ways of things. Because we're here for a reason and we're here for a purpose, and that is to show those around us the love, the compassion, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the love, the joy of God. The joy and the love of God. It should be upon your face. There should be, you know, I said I didn't see too many halos or whatever, you know, around here, you know. But there should be that glow of us. Because there's something in us. And what's in us is that when it says that Jesus is the light of the world. The world's going to be drawn to light and darkness, and as grossness, darkness comes about, and it's happening, hallelujah, faster as we speak. So your light's going to shine. Whether you're a, you know, 2 amp, 5 amp, 100 amp, 10 amp, whatever, you know, watt or whatever, the watts. You're going to shine in that. But it's not your light, it's Jesus in me shining out. And the more I can sit there and say, I want to be more holy. Help me understand that, Lord. Let me forego the things and the sins of this world and the things that I had in the past. Don't let them draw me back. I'm going to focus on you and that prize before me and run the race. And as I run the race, Lord, guess what? As we run the race, we might have to still shake off of some of the things of life. You know, I said earlier, coming in here, don't you feel sometimes you come through the week and it's just like, how did that attach itself to me? You know, it's like, ooh, yuck. When you sense that, get rid of it. Get out. Pull it off. It's like that of a tick. It'll get on you. And what's a tick do? Draws the blood out of you because that's what they live on. The devil likes to come and attach himself to you. And just starts drawing stuff off of you. We're to be set apart and different. Not blending in with the crowd. It's because of God's qualities in our life that makes us different. Now, there's scripture in there, too, saying that you're a peculiar person. Did you know that? You have a right to be peculiar. It's God's word. When Christ has come into our lives, we need to show change. You need to show change. Can't be the same and be with Christ. Amen? Something's got to go. You got to give him your full attention. You got to give him your full totally fill me, come, Lord, live in me. Take up residence in me. But we need to show a change. Our priorities change to be what? His priorities. Our wants become his wants. We all need to help. We all need help in becoming holy. So it's a thing that in God's blessings and love, and he knows that we can't attain it on our own. So he sends help. Again, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Again, when Jesus had to go or he went back, time for him to return back, to be at the right hand of God the Father. Right hand, that next level or that next area where the power comes from is the right of that person. Person on the throne has the ultimate power. The person seated just to the right of that person has that secondary power just as strong as it's been given to them. So anyway, right hand of God the Father. But through that of Christ and that of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And the thing is to realize we can't do it on our own. That's where a lot of us fail. We think that we can do it on our own, and that's when the devil gets into the details of things and gets us all messed up, gets us totally confused, totally sidetracked, to the point of saying, I guess it ain't going to work. I guess there is no hope for me. There's always hope, amen? There's always hope. I always want to tell people, as long as you got breath in your lungs, there's hope for you. You may be on your deathbed, but there's hope for you. To sit there and say, oh Lord, come into my life. Transform me this, Lord. God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us in this transformation from our old life to the life that he has for us. And we try to tell people, encourage people to realize that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. See a lot of people out there destroying their lives, taking their lives prematurely, doing crazy things. That's the evilness of the spirit of this world, of just trying to destroy relations, does a good job destroying relations, destroying lives, because people look at it and they feel they don't have a purpose. Or they look around at the craziness of our world and they think, there's no way that I can deal with it. You know what? If I didn't have Christ in my heart and knowing that God loves me and my strength comes from him up on high, I would probably look at some of this stuff around here going, forget it. Let me just go to the mountains, get a cabin. I don't know how I'd live because I was a city boy. Domino's, do you deliver? I could start maybe the first franchise out there in the Montana Hills somewhere, you know, like Domino's. Hey, here we are. But he gives us the Holy Spirit to transform us, a metamorphosis, a change that happens with us, sometimes ever so slowly. Sometimes we get a little ticked off with people because they're not changing fast enough for us. Anybody have people like that? But you need to change faster. Get out of that old life, you sinner. It's like, I'm trying. I'm working on it, okay? Help me. Pray with me. Encourage me. Be with me. Mentor me. Do whatever. Disciple me. Yeah, that's all those things that we want to do. Help me. Don't give up. We can overcome sin because of the help of God's power to free us from it. Everybody can break that bondage of sin. Everybody. If they go to the source, amen, and they believe it, they receive it, they confess it, they keep working on it to the point of this, give it over to God. Don't try to battle it yourself. As many of us think that we can handle it, you can't handle it. Now, I like this in the Passion Translation. This is the second week I brought this up, but I kind of turned to it now every once in a while looking at what it says. And this is 1 Peter 1:14-16. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Don't you realize our lives have been shaped? Our lives are shaped by you've been born. Your values and things are shaped by your family, your background, all of these things, schools. I mean, we're a piece of clay, really, right? Don't we sit there and say, oh, potter, be the potter, I the clay. And that's what we want to get to, too. We want to sit there and say, oh, Lord, I know I'm a piece of clay in this world. And I can be molded by the school system. I can be molded by my parents and hopefully good, you know. Sometimes we question that. We could be molded by society, molded by the news. We're molded by the media. We get molded by a lot of things. Things that come out of Hollywood begins to mold us. But let him mold you. Let him put you on his potter's wheel. Remember, John, I like this one. Remember the old thing like on a potter, you know, if nothing else, he just takes that clay and just goes, boom, ow, hey. Did it have to be so hard, Lord? Come on, you know. Yes, it did, Tim. I got your attention now. And then he begins to mold that potter, just begins to mold that vessel. He took something that had nothing to it, no form, no use, no purpose, and he turns it into that potter, turns it, if it's a very highly crafted potter, like God is a very, he's a God. He knows what he's doing, creation, designing things. He will make you into such a beautiful vessel. Do you feel like you're a beautiful vessel yet? Made for the master's use, you know? But let him mold you. So anyway, as God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by the desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like the Holy One called you, who called you. For the Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. Everything about God is what? Holy. True holiness induces justice, mercy, truth, and righteousness. To be holy is to be absolutely devoted to God in all that we do, demonstrating who he is in the world. Amen. Holiness surrounds God's throne, and we are seated with him in heavenly places. We find in the Hebrew this concept of holiness is to be set apart. We are to be a people of being set apart. It's okay. It's okay to be set apart from the world. Amen. We best be set apart from the world. Because God himself is set apart from all the other gods that these religions and these groups and these societies call their gods, right? There's only one true big God with the capital G, God, the Father. Grace has embedded holiness in our lives, yet we are to make right choices and to yield to Christ and God's Word as the Holy Spirit lives in us. Holiness is not merely actions that we perform, but what we absorb and manifest as we live our lives in God's presence. In God's presence. We find in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, Romans 12:1, the heading there, living sacrifices to God. A living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we think about this, I want to look at the word holy there, and it takes me back into that of Acts, and it's going through this part of the God delivering Israel by Moses, and it's telling some history of the Old Testament. And then in Romans 7:33 it says, then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. As we look at that, it imparts this, that it's a sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated, separated, properly reverted, worthy of veneration, God-likeness, God's innermost nature, and being set apart for God's service. I was looking at, and I'm not going to have time to dig back into that. I've got my flags here to go back, but then you look at Exodus and Leviticus and those areas there for right now. We may touch upon this next week. We'll see. But it kind of went back into the old areas there where take off your sandals for where I'm at, where you are at is holy ground, you know. And basically it's this, wherever God is at becomes holy. Amen? Wherever God is at, it becomes holy. It's like that of an ambassador when he is ambassador and he goes to a foreign country and we put him in a building there, he's representing America in that place. So America is in that place. Wherever that ambassador is at, that's American territory in that area. Where God is at, it's holy. That's why we say, oh God, come with us today. Come and be with us during our service, Lord. Dwell with us here. Oh, by that of the Holy Spirit, come, dear Lord. And make your presence known. Touch the hearts of the people, their minds, whatever it is, Lord. Just, oh, let us know that I've been in your presence. And where I am and where you are and where you are and I am, that's a holy place. Not because I was there, but because you're there. But I want to be holy because Christ in me, by that of the Holy Spirit within me, makes me that avenue or that part of being holy. We are a holy generation. You are holy. Again, don't let the devil take that name from you, because that is an important part of who we are in Christ. I am no longer that of this world, you know. We've been bought. We've been changed. 1 Peter 1, when it talked about in 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So, gird up the loins of my mind. Really? We find this here, that the figure of saying gird up the loins of your mind comes from the Oriental's necessary gathering up of the long robes with a belt to prepare for action. So what I'm hearing here when I read this, how do you hear it when you're reading it, Tim? The Holy Spirit. He speaks to me. How about you? As I'm reading God's word, it becomes alive and it's like I'm talking to God and he's talking to me and I'm going, what about this? Therefore, Tim, gird up your mind because what? You've got to prepare for action. And where does the crazy things that, what actions causes us to have actions? It's because of what we think about sometimes, or a lot of times. And so as I'm holy and I've got to guard my mind, I've got to wrap and protect my mind. Think on these things. As you think, So will you be. All of these things that we have to start putting, oh, hallelujah, start connecting the dots of God's word in our lives of these things that he's told us about my mind, my heart, my mouth, my wherever, whatever we go through the scriptures. And pretty soon you begin to, wait a minute, this kind of ties in with that. Gird up the loins of your mind. You got to get ready for action. I've got to put my mind upon that of who? The world or that of Christ? Christ. I'm in the world, but I've got my mind set on the kingdom. I am of that kingdom of God. How about you? I'm a kingdom of God here on this earth. The kingdom of God lives where? In me. Remember, I think last week I talked about Ecclesiastes. I was talking about a legislative governing body. We are that. Once we begin to realize and connect the dots of God's word, I can get more encouraged, more fired up to realize that I've got a lot that I can control even in this sphere of things. To at least call upon my God, my holy, holy, holy God, to come and take care of this, to come and intercede in that. Hallelujah. But until we begin to connect the dots of God's words and who and what we are, the enemy will continually try to miss those dots and take those dots out of you. He sees you getting close to realize you got to renew your mind. No, don't. No, Tim, don't renew your mind. That's nothing. You got to change this. You got to do that. No, no, that's okay, Tim. God's a God of love. You can still do all that stuff. He'll love you no matter what. Yeah, but I do it. I'm miserable. Oh, that's okay. You'll get over it. Do you think so, devil? Because I don't feel like it, because I'm really torn between and betwixt right now. Because why? The Holy Spirit in me. The love of God convicting me, saying, Tim, I love you. And that I didn't like. Please don't do it again. How can I help you, Tim? I'll give you the strength. Whatever the case, I will tell you, guard your mind, gird your loin, your mind like that, you know, to protect for being in a battle, protecting for get ready for the use. Because we know a lot of the battle that the enemy does in us is right between our ears. Right between our ears. And we've all been challenged that way, right? How the devil really likes to mess with your mind. Creates doubts and fears and apprehension, and you think and worry, and oh boy, what about this? It's a lost cause. Who are you? What's the church doing? Oh, you guys don't have any control over nothing. Look at everything's all falling out of control, blah, 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 blah. It's like, hold it, put the brakes on. You know? So we start connecting the dots of God and who he says I am, not what the devil says I am. But who what God says I am. And that I can be holy. I can be holy. Not pridefulness, not boastfulness, but as a child of God, I have got to elevate myself from this of the world. Amen? And we've got to step back. We've got to step up. We've got to step somewhere. And the world's all messed up doing this thing here. I'm going to step aside, separate myself from the world. But I'm praying, God, intervene in that. God, intervene in that. God, change the mindset of my government. God, expose lies and deception in the media. God, come and move mightily in my nation. Amen? We take that authority. And until we take that authority, it's still going to be mucked up. And as we get that authority, we will begin to see change. Now, there will always be problems, tribulations, crazy things. I'm not going to say that it's just until Jesus comes back, okay? Once he comes back, it'll be perfect. But until that time frame, we're here to kind of keep, you know, we're at the back of the parade, guys, and we got like horses, elephants, and giraffes before us. And all I know is I've got a little thing with a stick and a bucket and a broom. That's the world's life happening right now, and me as a pastor, me as a Christian, me as a follower, me as holy, 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 cleaning up dog doo-doo. Yeah, that's what I got to do. But I'm praying it for Lord, you know. Okay, Lord, we're here to go behind the world and the messes that it's making and to Get rid of it, amen. To sweep it out of here. But I have joy and love and peace and happiness in my God. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to cry, oh, woe is me. We live in a bad place. I want to leave. I want to stay here and fight the devil. How about you? How about you, children of God, men and women of God, young men and we need young ones. We need the young'uns, let me tell you. Because some of us are getting like, oh, really? We got to go that much further? Oh, can I sit and rest? Oh, my gosh. But we have got to remain that understanding. You don't give up. You don't give up. You don't give up. 1 inch. The devil's going to steal it from you. Devil's going to try to take it from you. But you better go have a talk with him. You better go to battle. You better gird up your mind. You better get your thoughts ready. You better connect the dots of who God says you are. And you better go to him and say, I'm going to take back what you took from me, devil. Plus. Because I'm upset. You don't want to have an upset child of God. You know, we might have fun with God and all, but when we come to the battle of that of the devil, we change our whole demeanor. And I don't fight the devil long, do you? I go to him and I say, you, out of this situation, and get thee behind me, devil. And I keep going. I keep going. I don't give in. Don't give up. Oh, yeah, I get this. I'm not perfect, okay? I'm not saying that I never, what's going on? But see, that's where all of a sudden you begin to think about, wait a minute, I gotta lay this down. I don't want the things of this world to hinder me anymore. Because I cry, holy, 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 holy is God. And he says here, but he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all of your conduct, because it is written, be holy, be holy, be holy. I think that pretty well covers some of the things I've got here. I want you to understand your holiness. I want to understand that your holiness comes out of God, and that is in you through that of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be strong. I don't want you to give in. I want you to guard your mind. I want you to renew your mind. I want you to know that Christ in you, amen, and that hope of glory, and that we have all these things before us, and it's for us to decide, are you going to use it? Are you going to be an active, participant Christian, or are you going to sit on the side and just bemoan the fact that all this stuff is going crazy, but it's somebody else's thing to do? Last Wednesday in my prayer group that I get with pastors, this one pastor, I had some information or something come back from a missionary that's over in Afghanistan. And the report there that they sent back that she read, and then she just shared, you know, with us at the prayer, because of all that things that are happening there, and we know that the Christians and things are happening, you know. And it's not just Afghanistan. It's in a lot of countries where missionaries are at. They're being, you know, martyred, slaughtered, killed. But this report that came back from this missionary in Afghanistan said that there's reported that people, as they came to some area of Afghanistan, I don't know what part of the country they were in and where they were going, but it was reported that as they crossed into this other country, people were saying that there was an image like Jesus standing before us pointing on where it was safe to cross. Because they've got, you know, people, you know, the Taliban and ISIS and all the ISIS-K, all these things. I'm sure they got the country surrounded. They're trying to find they don't want to let the Christians just go, just to say, okay, if you're a Christian, we don't like you, leave. They're going, you're a Christian, we're going to eradicate the world, we're going to get rid of you. That's what they want to do. They're not like, okay, you leave and go to America or you go to Africa or whatever. No, it's like, you're a Christian, boom. And when we heard that, it's like, only God. And, you know, our prayers have been, Lord, blind the eyes of the enemy there. Put angels around those of Christian and those that are going to be harmed and give them safe passage. And God of today performs like God of yesterday with these signs and these things and these images and the things in the spiritual realm that if God wants you to see something in your natural eyes, He will enlighten your spiritual realm of something that you don't see, but you do see it. Like that of faith, but you do see it. And to have people say, oh, we found the safe area on this particular part of the border because Jesus was there pointing, this is the way. This is the way. God, God, God. There's a lot more of that. But He's a big God, and there will be a lot of stories, I believe, come out of those situations. And, you know, they're seeing evidence and miraculous things like that. And there's sadness, there'll be those that are killed. But they're killed because they don't denounce their faith. If they would just denounce their faith, they'd probably let them live and, you know, turn your back on God here. You know, confess Allah and be us. Who knows, but it's just like God is still God. He's still doing the miraculous. So it causes this, that we continue to stand in prayer. We continue to pray for needs. We don't give up. You don't give up. Amen. The only time you give up is when God calls you home and He says, come on. Okay, if I'm done here, Lord, let's go. Oh, Father, please receive something from this today of the glory of God, but more of the holiness of God. Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You. Lord, as we come to this time, I pray, Lord, that You have touched and ministered into the spirits, into the minds, into the hearts of each and every one of us here today. And that something that's been shared, something that has been said, will minister into that person, Lord, as only it can through that of You. I pray, Lord, that You will be with these individuals here today, these brothers and sisters, these children, Lord, today that are here. I pray, Lord, just protection, health, strength, everything, Father, upon them, Lord, to have a great and glorious week ahead. We thank You, Father God, right now. And Lord, let us understand that holy, holy, holy of who we cry, holy, 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 You, God, You, God. And that we can be that holy as well, or that holiness, Lord, in us through that of Christ. Well, we're children of Yours, Father. Oh, Father, again, bless this day. Go with us.